you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Welcome to the Donut Racing Show, everybody, where we bring a bar crawl mindset to the rooftop speakeasy obsessed podium of Formula One racing. We know those F1 drivers love drinking their alcohol. They've all got beer bellies. My name is Nolan Sykes. I'm joined by only one of my co-hosts today, one of my favorite auto journalists, and one of the authors of Racing with Rich Energy, Alanis King.
Hi! I am so disappointed that Nolan didn't say my favorite auto journalist because Elizabeth isn't here. And I'm just...
I say the same thing every week.
I know, but she's not here. You could have put me in the top spot, Nolan.
Well, that's unfair to Liz. Liz is on a plane.
Maybe, with Gunther Steiner. Yeah, Elizabeth is at the airport, and she sent us a photo this morning of Gunther Steiner going through security before her. So because she's at the airport with the Haas team principal, we can only assume that she's going to drive for Haas next year, which is...
I think so.
It's not as good as my seat, because I'm actually taking over for Checo, so...
Wow.
Yeah.
What have I been doing? I was sick this weekend. I was supposed to watch the race with Pass Gas co-host Joe Weber and producer Christina. And like 2 hours before the race starts, I was into it. I was like, all right, I'm going to come over. I'm going to go out. I'm going to make the journey out to Eagle Rock. But then I came down with something this weekend. I was not feeling good. Yesterday, I felt like absolute dog dookie. It was terrible. And then today I woke up and I'm like, I'm spry. I'm talking real fast. That's how you know I feel good.
You got it out of the system.
I did.
I had a very fun weekend. I went to Dallas to drive a Lamborghini Huracan STO for Cars and Bids. So the car is going up for auction. And basically what I do is I go and I drive the cars and I talk about them and we post that on YouTube and then they go to auction. And it was green. It was super cool. And I purposely scheduled the STO for this weekend because, one, NASCAR was in town in Dallas, and two, Escape the Fate, my favorite band from when I was like 13, was in town. So I went and I drove this Huracan, and then I went to the hotel and I took a shower and I turned immediately around and I went to Escape the Fate, and then Escape the Fate was like, we're going to the bar. Y'all can go to the bar if you want. And I was like, well, I guess I'm going to the bar. So I got back to the hotel at like 3:30 in the morning and went to sleep. And then I woke up at 7:30 to go to the NASCAR race where it was 101 degrees outside.
First of all, very cool for a band to invite everybody to go to this bar.
It was so cool.
Yeah. Second of all, 100 degrees, 110 degrees. No, thank you. It's almost the end of September. Texas, get your weather together.
Well, not only Texas, get your weather together, but NASCAR TV partners, get your schedule together. I had major people in NASCAR DMing me like, yeah, we need to fix this schedule if it's 100 degrees outside in Texas.
Yeah, that's just insane. I think that is kind of like a real thing that a lot of racetracks and sporting venues have to contend with is climate change, because mm-hmm. it's getting hotter for longer. And that's just something we're going to have to deal with, or hopefully make better. But yeah,
here's what's wild, Nolan. We do have to make this better as the climate gets worse and worse and worse. And yet what's happening is you have no shade in the infield of Texas Motor Speedway. And like the old thing you used to do when it was like 94 degrees at Texas Motor Speedway was you would go to the infield restaurant and you would like get an hour inside in the air conditioning and watch the race on TV. There were like 12 TVs mm-hmm. in there. Texas Motor Speedway took the TVs out. So you can't see anything in the infield restaurant. And everybody is out there like trying not to have a heat stroke, and you can't even watch the race when you're inside, even though you're buying food and alcohol and everything like that. And I had a friend in the stands who said they're charging $6 for a bottle of water up here. And like people are going to like pass out. This like it's so bad. Like you cannot mix climate change with trying to capitalize off of everyone monetarily constantly. Like this is not a good mix. I don't know why we're doing this.
Well, I've got some bad news for you, because that's probably what's going to happen for the rest of our lives. But also, yes, it's a real problem. Shade needs to be like a real thing that we start investing in at all of our venues out there. You can't just make people stand out in the sun that long, especially a NASCAR race. Y'all NASCAR fans love your 4-hour races. So we gotta solve that. Anyway, this week, Japanese Grand Prix, it was a race. A lot of stuff went down. They were slanging and banging. It was like Forrest Griffin and Robbie Lawler in there at points. For all my UFC fans out there, they were just swinging at each other.
I was like, am I supposed to know that?
No, you know, I wouldn't advise you watch that fight. It's a very bloody fight from like 15, almost 20 years ago now. It's a gnarly one, but it's probably one of the best fights of all time. Anyway, it was qualifying, was up first, and it was a bit underwhelming this week, but there were a few wild moments. During qualifying one, Logan Sargeant really biffed it at the final chicane and knocked two tires off in his collision with the barrier. It's it was bad. The round was red flagged with about 9 minutes left. So he wasn't even going for like the final hot lap to get into qualifying two. It was like, you know, the first part of the session.
I feel bad that Logan has been causing some race breaks and red flags lately, because
he's been having a rough go right now. Yeah.
Yes. Because like the people criticizing people needed a new scapegoat. They needed a new Nicholas Latifi. And like, it's very convenient that Logan Sargeant races for Williams and he's caused a few red flags and they're like, go Tiffy, he's back. And it's like, dang, poor guy. Let's not bully him.
And I think there's an added kind of layer to it is the fact that Logan is American, which makes him that much even more fun to make fun of. I noticed on the WTF1 page on Instagram, they had a picture of him crashing. And I believe there's like an American flag on there and stuff. And it's like, oh, great. Here we go. The guy lives in like Switzerland or something, right? Like he lives over in Europe. He was technically born in Florida, but that's kind of it. He spent the rest of his life over in Europe racing these open wheel cars. Like, okay, I get it. And I'm gonna be honest, it hurts a little bit. It hurts my feelings.
Okay. You know? My first note is it's genuinely funny when something objectively bad happens and everybody's like, rah, America. Like, that's genuinely funny. I love that. Unless they're British, don't do that. But Nolan, you cannot be mean to the Americanness of Logan Sargeant, because he sat down with that GQ interview and they said, what are the 10 things that represent Nolan Sargeant? Logan, not Nolan.
Nolan. Hey.
What are the 10 things that represent Logan Sargeant? And he picked multiple Florida sports jerseys. Like, you got to give him more credit. Those are like key parts of his personality.
That's true. He is a Dolphins fan after all. Anyway, he was... He had a bad time. Logan had a bad time. Fernando Alonso also had a bit of a bad time. He was struggling with pace through both qualifying one and two, but made it into Q3 before he qualified P10. Still, I mean, look, he started out strong this year, but he's kind of been waning, but now he's back in it. Yuki Tsunoda also made it into Q3 at his home track and got to start P9 in his home race. It was awesome. And Q3 was an especially exciting round for McLaren fans, with Oscar Piastri qualifying second and teammate Lando Norris right behind him in P3. And of course, on pole position, Max Verstappen, driving for that Red Bull team.
Who's that? I haven't seen him all year.
We haven't really seen a lot of Max, and we didn't see a lot of him during this race. For good reason, though. I think the rest of the field was pretty exciting. Max is not involved in the slanging and banging at the beginning of the race that we'll get into, but he whooped that ass this weekend.
That's the thing about being at the front. You just get to go. You get to leave them all behind while they all fight with each other.
Yeah, that's what's great about being fast. but seriously, though, like, Singapore was kind of a disaster for the Red Bull team, ironically making it one of the most entertaining races of the year. That's how it goes, though. But I think that speaks to the strength of Max and also the honesty of Christian Horner. You know, last week, I was kind of doubting Christian Horner. He was saying, like, oh, yeah, like, the technical directives, the flexi wing, that didn't really affect us at all. And the floor changes didn't affect us. Like, we just brought the wrong setup. And I was kind of like, yeah, sure. Okay, Horner, Mr. Bond villain. But then they came back this weekend and just destroyed. So, yeah, he was telling the truth. And I will not doubt Christian Horner ever again.
Well, okay, fair. The wildest thing about F1 seasons is that you will have a team that will dominate the entire season. And if one race in that season didn't exist, they would have had like a perfect record. And if Singapore did not exist, Max Verstappen would just be like away with the wind, just gone. And it's like, it's kind of wild how that happens. There's one race where you have a meltdown.
And then they bounced right back. It didn't really affect them. Or like, a lesser team, Aston Martin, right? They like Fernando. He's I think the best example this year. Really strong start, and then they had a few fumbles, and now maybe not their own fault. A lot of the other team, McLaren especially, has caught up with them quite well, and Mercedes, you know, kind of fending them off. But I think a few missteps kind of got in their head a little bit, and now they're, you know, fighting for P10 in Q3.
Well, okay, so what's interesting to me, and we will talk about this as we get into the race because that is next, but we talked about Max just like being gone, right? And how a lot of the interesting things in this race happened in the midfield. I honestly felt like I didn't see enough of McLaren on the broadcast. Like, I would have liked to see a little bit more because they did really well. And we were just so focused on like all the drama in the midfield, which is fantastic. And I think all motorsports broadcasts should focus on the midfield more. And like, I don't think this was the broadcast's fault. I think this was just how things naturally fell. But like, McLaren probably would have been like wanted a little bit more airtime for their sponsors from doing so well. But they were just like, all of the drama was in the midfield. You couldn't change that, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Let's talk about this race. And this race was wild from the start. And the start actually ended up affecting a lot of the rest of the race. So let's talk about that. There was a collision on the start. There were multiple collisions on the start. It was just like a domino effect, basically. So we've got the two Ferraris side by side with Checo and Lewis Hamilton. Okay. Carlos and Checo both jerk to the left, which is where Lewis is. Lewis is on the left of this. And Carlos jerks to the left. Checo jerks to the left. Checo hits Lewis Hamilton, which sends him into the grass. Then behind him, we have another issue. My guy, Esteban Ocon, he drifts wide. He's like, all right, I'm just going to slide over here. And then Bottas goes wide, hits Alex Albon. Safety car comes out. Both of the Alfa Romeos are impacted. Valtteri Bottas returns to the pits, front wing damage, and he has a puncture. And Zhou Guanyu also reports damage, and he pits, okay? Then Alex Albon pits to check on his damage, and James Vowles, the Williams team principal, says Alex has damage to his front wing as well as the floor, and that changed his strategy to be a two-stop to make sure everything is going all right. Okay, so everybody's hitting each other. Everything is all over the place. They played the start replay like 17 times, and you still couldn't see all of it because everybody was hitting each other. Then off to the side, we have our guy, Logan Sargent, who racked up a bunch of penalties before the race started. They made changes to the car, and also he wrecked his car, and they ended up breaching the regulations for the backup car. So F1 was like, okay, you're starting in pit lane, and you're getting a 10-second penalty, and we're just going to generally bully you. So they took his 10-second penalty during this safety car.
I mean, the start has to be the most nerve-wracking part of the race, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or coming in for like an especially like tense pit stop. But like, you know, tracks like Monza, where you're all going to just jam into a, like a first gear turn after a long ass straight. This one, I think like turn one of Suzuka is like a pretty high speed turn there. But like, if you're not on the right line, you can't really take advantage of the fact. And if you're on the wrong line, you're going to get passed pretty quickly because the guys that are on the right line have way more speed than you. So everyone's in a rush to get into that right position. And then something like that happens, you know.
There are a lot of things at play on the start of any F1 race because here you are, you're starting double wide, right? And if you make up ground or lose ground, you're going to end up three or four wide, right? So Lewis Hamilton gets a great start. That puts him four wide with the two Ferraris and Checo. And like, you know, it would be fine to get a great start, except if you're four wide and somebody makes one mistake, you're gone. You're in
the
grass. You have damage.
Yeah.
You're done. The other thing at play here is like, okay, well, I don't necessarily want to be four wide, but also track position is extremely important in Formula One. So if I don't take this chance to get track position, I'm probably going to be screwed for the rest of the race. So you risk either getting screwed by getting hit or getting screwed by not having track position. And Lewis Hamilton ended up having a good start and then getting screwed with the wreck.
Yeah. Rough. But you know what's not rough? Red Bull's season so far. Congratulations to Red Bull for winning the Constructors' Championship with six races left in the season. Max won the race, and well, Checo had a different experience of this race. Let's go through it.
I feel so bad for this man.
Me too. I mean, look, I mean, it was a team effort, though. He contributed to that Constructors' Championship.
He did.
But this weekend, Checo had to pit for a new front wing thanks to a missing end plate. So he comes back onto the track in P18. But then immediately gets a safety car infringement for overtaking under a safety car when he was coming into the pits. He gets a 5-second penalty along with being basically last. A couple laps later, by lap 18, he's back up into P15. But in an attempt to pass Kevin Magnussen on the inside of a hairpin on lap 12, he locked up one of his tires and hits the back of Magnussen. Magnussen spins around, says, "What the heck, dude?" And Perez, for his efforts, gets more front wing damage. This was like...
he just fixed the front wing.
This was a boneheaded move. Yes, they just fixed the front wing. But also, like, you're in a Red Bull. You just wait until you're in a DRS zone, and you'll have 20 miles per hour on Kevin, and that's where you pass. You don't need to make a dive bomb the inside like it's the last lap of the race and you're fighting for the win. Like, what the heck? Dude, come on.
Yes, and the running joke this weekend was Red Bull gives you wings because Red Bull had to give Checo so many wings because he kept messing up the wings.
Yeah, so he comes into the pits to change out his wing on lap 13, gets a second new front wing. I don't know if I've seen that before, actually. That's that might be a first for me.
Well, the broadcast was saying we don't know if they have one. Like, are they going to have another wing to put on his car?
And so... after that, after he comes out of the pits, the virtual safety car comes out. So he like lost out on a free pit stop. It just gets worse. On lap 15, he reports that the car doesn't feel right. I wonder why that is. And then he receives his second 5-second time penalty for causing a collision with the aforementioned Kevin Magnussen.
Oh, ouch.
Then a few laps later, comes in, retires the car. His race looks like it's over. but it's not over.
it's not over.
Because 10 laps later, on lap 27, Checo gets back into his car in the garage. And on lap 32, we get an answer if he can go back out. Red Bull apparently talked to the FIA. And if Checo doesn't serve his time penalties in the race, they could carry over to the next race in Qatar. And thus, Red Bull sends Checo back into the race on lap 40. So, like, over 20 laps later. I had never seen this before. He does a few laps, comes in into the pits, serves that time penalty, does another lap, and then retires the car after that. I heard that the FIA will be looking into closing this loophole. Because, honestly, even though, like, this is a another great example of Red Bull gambling against the rule book, seeing, just trying something new just to maximize their chances every time they get. I don't think Mercedes would do this, but Red Bull did.
No, absolutely not. Mercedes is just too proper. Red Bull is like, let's go.
Yeah.
Challenge
us. I admire the roll of the dice and like the racing the rule book. Like that's what racing at this level is all about. You want to beat the rule book. But at the same time, when they were deliberating it and then you see Checo come back out like 20 laps later, I was like, this is kind of like, that's like against the spirit of the rule, right? Did you feel that way? How'd you feel about this?
The spirit of the rules don't exist. The rules exist to be broken. That's how racing is. There is no spirit of the rules. The spirit
but how'd you really feel when you saw this going on?
No, I want everyone to break the rules all the time.
All right, great.
That's how I am. I'm a NASCAR fan. Like, you are constantly trying to break the rules to the best of your ability without getting caught breaking the rules. You want to bend them as far as you possibly can without breaking them. Like, I get, like, I think there are types of people who believe in the spirit of the rules. And then there are people who believe that the rules exist to be completely manipulated and bent. And it is okay to be either one of those people. I am just the bending type.
I agree with you. Like I said, like, you're racing the rule book, but I think in this case, okay, I was trying to think of an analogy for this. The penalty exists in the first place to punish you when you're like making an effort to like try to do as best as you can. Checo had been out for like 20 laps. It did not matter if like there was no penalty served because it didn't affect him. He was already out before. It's like, for me, it was like someone serving concurrent sentences for completely unrelated crimes, right?
Like, yeah,
say you stole a car and you go to prison for stealing that car, but you happen to also, unconnected to stealing the car, a few days before, you like killed people or something. And then
we're
the
just
prison
going
sentence.
Really extreme
yeah,
here.
You murdered somebody. Hey, like, this is it. Like, you killed somebody a few days before, but like the judge says that you can also serve the time for killing that person while you're doing time for stealing the car. Like, that wouldn't be right because they're completely, they're not related. And like, that's how I feel about this one. Like, he was already serving the time for retiring the car for reasons that he caused, by the way, because he f***ed up his own car smashing into Kevin Magnussen. And then, you know, the safety car thing and the causing a collision, which was related, but the safety car deal too. Like, that's how I feel. So I'm glad. I would be glad if they close this loophole because it's not sporting.
Okay. I have two arguments to this. One, when people find loopholes, you close them. That's how they work. Like, the goal of a race team is to find a loophole, which the people making the rules will eventually close. You're supposed to. So my two arguments here are, one, there is a reason why the F1 sporting regulations have a bunch of lines that say at the race director's discretion, because you can just cancel out everything if it's at the race director's. Yes. To fix this, you literally could have just said at the race director's discretion, we're going to say, screw you. That was ridiculous.
Yes.
Second, there is a reason why when you get three coupons in the mail, the coupons say cannot be used with another coupon.
Yes. Yes.
So if you retire the car, you cannot serve a penalty. If the coupon list does not say cannot be used with another coupon, you use two coupons. That's right. What Red Bull did.
Here's the counter argument, though.
We're on our third counter argument.
No, but here's my counter to your counter. I think it's also possible Red Bull burned that rule way before they should have. They already had the Constructors' Championship
in the bag.
And they're doing it for Checo.
Yeah, this is completely
I don't want to be too I don't want to bully Checo too much, but like if this was Max, 100% I agree with them doing this. Because, like, you know, you don't want Max to have a penalty going in the next race because you know he has the best shot of winning that next race, and you don't want to, you want to give him the best shot. Checo, I'm going to say Checo qualifies P5 next race. What was the point of doing this? What was the point of closing this loophole? In retrospect, maybe I have the benefit of retrospect, but also he was out for 20 laps. Like, they could have come to that conclusion as well, I think. I don't see what the point was, because Checo ain't winning that driver's championship either. Producer Christina just said, I truly think it was to humiliate him. Maybe.
Okay. I mean, but Nolan, your counter argument makes a lot of sense, because when you find loopholes, you keep them in your back pocket
until
you absolutely need them. You did not absolutely need this here. Like, if it's 2021 and Max and Lewis are head to head for this title and Max ends up having these penalties that he may have to serve the next race, That's when you use the loophole.
Yes.
That's when you use it. You cannot just use it flippantly, because then you're going to close it and you're not going to be able to use it again. And you figured it out.
I think there's going to come a time, maybe not next season, but in the future, Christian Horner is going to look at himself and be like, man, we used that one way too early. Yeah,
totally agree. I totally agree. Christian, if you're listening, we understand you are the most devious mind in the world, but you weren't devious enough here, dude. Like, you messed it up, and that's really sad.
Or it's going to work out really well in Red Bull's favor, because that's how the universe works.
That's literally how the universe works.
Okay, anyway.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
The universe used to favor a different team. Mercedes.
I love our transition.
And now Mercedes just favors fighting each other. So here we are. Picture this. We are at Suzuka, and on lap six, George Russell and Lewis Hamilton are wheel to wheel. They were going at it. They are fighting each other like all the time. And what's really interesting is on the broadcast, at some point in this Mercedes fighting, they said, if you can't trust your teammate, who can you trust? The person you can trust least is your teammate, because they are the only person in exactly equal equipment to you. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a wild point to make. I was like, absolutely not. Like, what? Your teammate is your top competitor. Anyway, so they go to wheel on lap six. Lap 16, they're going wheel to wheel again. George comes on the radio and he goes, who do we want to fight, each other or the others? And like, this is like, okay, so we've talked about this in the past. George Russell, in order to not just be slotted into number two until Lewis Hamilton retires, had to come on the spot with a very, very intense and dominating and controlling personality.
Oh, yeah.
But also, it is getting a little annoying.
I share your sentiments 100%. Look, we've talked about this before. All drivers are whiny. They all sound like this. It just happens to be certain drive. It's like when you hear a driver on the broadcast, that's when you're like, oh, I don't like this guy's a whiny. But I totally understand. I totally agree. It's like this weekend, I feel like the past couple races, George has gotten the radio spotlight a few times at very inopportune moments. And right now, like, I feel like in the F1 sphere, at least online, like, George is not, he doesn't have the best stock right now. Let's just say that.
So I think what's interesting here is all F1 drivers are whiny all the time. But when we're looking at George and Lewis, George is scheming ahead of time, right? He's like, who do we want to fight, each other or the others? Let me do this. Let me do this. Let me do a one stop. Let me win this race. Let me do that. Mm-hmm. Lewis Hamilton, when he is gossiping about George, it's reactionary. It's not proactive. George is doing this proactively. Like, he's scheming. Lewis is like, why did we just do that? You know? So like, it just seems more pedantic when it's George, because George is thinking ahead of time, whereas Lewis is saying, this just happened and I didn't like it.
George is very calculating. I think he's a very intelligent guy. You can tell just by the way he speaks, and just, yeah, you can see him thinking like not even like three steps ahead. And you get the impression that he is constantly thinking about the big picture. Even in moments like this, when you're driving a race car at 200 miles an hour, he's still thinking about his true role in the Mercedes team, which is pretty freaking impressive, honestly. But it just, you know, you get these wild radio messages that make you want to hate him.
Oh my goodness. So George and Lewis, they chill out for a while, right? They do their thing. Other people are having drama. Checo's in the garage, out of the garage, whatever. Near the end of the race, they get back together. Okay, there's an exciting battle between both of the Mercedes drivers and Carlos Sainz. Okay, so George is in the lead, Lewis is directly behind, and then Carlos is the third one in this little train they have going here, right? So George was trying to make Lewis pull Carlos Sainz's move from last week. Remember, Carlos Sainz last week ended up giving the car behind him DRS so that they had a buffer. So basically, George is like, all right, Lewis, like, get within a second. Let's pull DRS on Carlos. Which, again, this is so funny because people look for loopholes and they look for ways to manipulate the rules. And then everyone starts doing it the next week. So Carlos pulls the DRS move and it's his, right? And then now it's everybody's. Now everybody's going to do it because Carlos came up with the idea. So like, it's miraculous and wonderful once, and it was so cool and so devious. And now it's literally every week people are going to be like, hey, give me DRS. Let's go. Let's buffer. Anyway, didn't work. So lap 48, Lewis gets on the radio to pressure his team. They're like, he's like, let me pass George, or we're going to lose both positions. Lap 49, they're told to switch positions, which George doesn't understand. He says, why don't we wait for the last lap? I agree with this in a roundabout way, and I'll get to it in a second. So they switch positions, and then on lap 50, George Russell says,
53 laps, right? Just for context.
Yes, lap 50 out of 53. Sorry, we're at the end. And George Russell says, you want to play the team game, but he pushed me off the track earlier. It's the least he can do. And I'm like, George, it's over, George. It's literally over. And this was like, it was the least he can do was stay behind George to protect him against Carlos Sainz, because Lewis was faster. Okay, so let me set up the scene for you here. Lewis was faster than George, and Charles Leclerc was like 5 seconds ahead of both of them. So Lewis was not going to have time in three laps to catch Charles Leclerc. So they're basically just switching Lewis and George's positions so that Lewis can finish ahead of George because Lewis is faster. But by doing it three laps early, George didn't have the buffer and gets eaten up by Carlos Sainz. So In hindsight, George is correct. And also in the moment, George is correct by saying, wait until the last lap. I'll let him pass me because he's faster. Mm-hmm. And then I won't get eaten up by Carlos, right? Mm-hmm. So Lewis Hamilton is told to make sure George Russell has DRS. Again, just like Carlos Sainz pulled last week. But it didn't matter. Carlos Sainz passes George Russell, and Carlos came on the radio to say, they're using my trick against me. Meanwhile, Lewis comes on the radio and says the team wasted all that time for no reason. So Lewis wanted to pass earlier so he could try and catch Charles Leclerc for fourth, I believe it was. And get this, as a side note, before I get to my complaining about how this haul went down, as a side note, Checo is out there on track, right? And I saw somebody say, I don't know where I saw it, but I think Charles Leclerc thought he was going to get a podium because he saw a Red Bull in front of him.
Yeah. Found his max.
It was Checo returning from his vacation to the garage. And I don't know where I saw this. I didn't check it.
No, that was during the race, yeah.
I'm not going to check it because it was so funny. Well, yeah, it might have been during the race. Anyway, he thought it was Max.
That's so funny. Someone should like take this whole exchange, this whole story of this race of George and Hamilton, like, and turn it into an anime short, because like the dialogue is so, it's so dramatic and melodramatic. And yes. I get to see this as an anime so easily, especially with Carlos going like, huh, they're trying to use my trick against me. Like, it's so good. I feel, okay, when I was over in Europe, I happened to catch some cycling on TV.
Oh, no.
Because apparently cycling is a popular thing to have on broadcast. Anyway, but like, that's how cycling works too. Like, you got to switch the riders out. Who's in front? You know, who's punching that hole in the air while you're going on these long distances? And like, I was watching, I was like, this is like Formula One when you have the teammates with the team orders and they're deliberating and they're like, because like, they're trying, you know, the team itself is trying to get the cars in the best position they can. Meanwhile, the drivers are like, but wait, no, I want to be in front. I got to be the guy that's in the front. He's like, if I'm in front, that means I beat the other guy. Like, and they're not seeing the full picture. It's just so funny. It's like, I don't know.
Here's
the more
my
stuff
question.
You watch, the less you're like, oh, Formula One is real racing. It's really not. It's more of like, I don't know. It's deliberation. It's bureaucracy. They always say like, oh, it's a chess match at 200 miles per hour.
No,
it's not.
It's not.
It's bureaucracy at 200 miles an hour. And you get to see some cool cars along the way, maybe.
It's literally debate in middle school. That's literally what we're doing at 200 miles an hour. Okay, here's my question. As someone who has never watched cycling, is the cycling drafting more like Formula One team orders, or is it more like drafting at Talladega? And Nolan, if you don't have this answer because you don't watch cycling, that's okay. If you're listening and you have this answer, what is it more like?
It is way more of a team effort cycling. You know, I'm not going to get into it because I don't really know. I'm just speaking on my ass. I don't know. If you're a big time cycling fan, hit us up at our email.
It's donutracingshow@donutmedia.com. Tell me if it's more like team orders in F1 or if it's more like tandem drafting at Daytona and Talladega, which is no longer legal, which is very sad. Dale Jr. was the goat at that. Go Dale. Anyway, my main complaint with how all of this went down was these dudes are so in their head. This is galaxy brain meme. Like, we're looking at the galaxy brain meme, okay? And the first level of the galaxy brain meme, normal brain, me, just race. And then the galaxy brain is switch us so that I can lead because I am faster and then we're going to get eaten up. Just race the cars. Like, if Lewis is faster, then Lewis should just race George. Like, we're so deep into this team orders thing and we are so deep into this like political infighting that they are forgetting that they are in a race and they can just race each other and let it happen naturally.
Then they eat up those tires though. And then they gotta maybe come in.
But they already...
It's near the end of the race. I don't know.
They already lost all of the ground that they would have lost if they would have just raced. Because there was a buffer behind Carlos. So If Lewis Hamilton had just raced his car, which was faster than George Russell, he would have passed George, and then Carlos would have passed George, and they would have finished exactly where they finished. The other option is we play the DRS buffer game, and then Lewis passes on the last lap so that hopefully Carlos stays behind them and George doesn't get passed. Why did we pick the most annoying option to get the exact same outcome of just racing each other? Why? It doesn't make it. Just race each other.
Just race. Well,
it's a race. We're going motor racing, Toto. Like, race the cars.
Speaking of some good motor racing, it was an excellent race weekend with a double podium for McLaren Racing. Oscar Piastri, that was some good timing for him because he just signed a contract until 2026. And then we had Lando Norris also on the podium. Speaking of drivers who love going on the radio, Lando loves coming on the radio to claim he's faster than his teammate. Around lap 26, with the McLarens racing each other, Lando comes on the radio to say, quote, "The longer I spend behind now, the worse you're going to make the race for me." So, to which his engineer replied, "Understood." He tried to pass Piastri a few moments later, complaining on the radio, "Oh, it's just ruining the race now. If you want George to beat us." And his engineer replied, "I'm working on it. Hey, I'm freaking working on it, okay? You're driving over here." I think Lando, again, it's just the case. All the drivers sound like this, probably. But the fact that it's Lando makes it a little more annoying, to be honest. I don't know why.
Lando.
Maybe it's his hair.
Guy.
I think I'm just imagining that hair under that helmet.
No, and you're imagining, like, you're imagining the facial hair, the little, like, the little chin hair he's got going.
Yeah. I don't know. How old is he now, Lando Norris?
He is 23. He was born in 1999. Lando Norris is famously battling me and Nolan and producer Christina and editor Gavin to be the last person alive from the 1900s.
Yes.
Because he was born in November 1999. If you're listening to this, you are probably in this fight. And I just want to say you're probably going to lose to Lando.
Hell no.
I believe. So George and Lando, they come on the radio and I think it is their tone that makes them this way. Okay. So I think their tone makes us like, come on, like just stop complaining, stop scheming, stop using this tone. They need to adopt the Fernando Alonso tone. And that is because grumpy Fernando Alonso is back. He's not scheming. He's not like trying to like slide in there and like make you think he's like being nice. No, like Fernando's just going to get mad at you. And I think if George and Lando want to be respected for their little, their angry little radio messages, they just need to be angry. Like stop veiling it. It's like, just be who you are. So Fernando Alonso, he's back. Maybe his attitude during this race is because he spent a bunch of it battling with my guy, Esteban Ocon, right? Yeah, his old teammate. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But yeah, remember how that went? But in
they
any
love
case,
each other.
Yeah, they love each other. He had some stuff to say on the radio. So at one point in the race, he comes on the radio and said, "You've thrown me to the lions by pitting so early." And we should clarify, tire degradation was really, really intense considering the heat. So the first pit stop rounds kicked off around lap 10 and Fernando Alonso pitted on lap 12 from soft to hard. So Fernando's like, "You've thrown me to the lions." And the commentators are like, "Fernando, you are a lion." And I'm like, when I think about lions, like I think about like the fact that like lions are mature and old and have manes. And so I'm like, are we calling Fernando old? Like, is that what we're doing? Or are we saying he's like aggressive? I don't know. So on lap 24, Fernando is in ninth behind Lewis Hamilton and my guy, Esteban Ocon, who I am a fan of Esteban Ocon, but we're still in the meme phase of it. Like, you know, when you decide you're a fan of a sports team and you're like, I don't know anything about, like, I don't know, I don't follow these people, so I have to learn their personalities and stuff. Still in the meme phase. So we're going to get there. It's going to be personal and emotional soon. But he's in ninth between Lewis Hamilton and Esteban Ocon. And he comes on his team about Esteban and he says, "He's pulling away on the straight, mate." And his race engineer says, "Yep, copy." And Fernando responds, So think of something. Yeah. And like the something was like extremely pained. He was this like, was something.
Such, this race was so extra. It was so dramatic. People like, I don't know if why the radio messages were so like over the top this week. Maybe it is like it every weekend, but it was something else, man. This race was crazy.
Absolutely rough. Oh. Yeah, this race was like a lot of attitude. Like all of these boys came in here and they were like, oh, we're going to be really like snappy at each other this weekend. Oof.
Yeah, it was a lot. Alonso's teammate and Elizabeth's number one boy, Lance Stroll, had a tough weekend as well in Japan. He was forced to retire his car on lap 24 due to a rear wing failure. You can see that thing flopping around. He wasn't the only DNF this weekend. We already talked about Checo, but there were a few more. As we mentioned during that collision at the start, both Alfa Romeo drivers were affected, and things didn't really turn around for Valtteri Bottas. I mean, they kind of did, but not in the way he'd have liked to. He literally got turned around. After the race got going again, Logan Sargeant locked up and hit Bottas, who then took a spin in the grass. It's in the same area that Checo hit Magnussen, same turn. Bottas and Sargeant both returned to the pits to get looked at, but Alpha took a lot longer before they sent him on his way. And then on lap 9, Bottas reported that the car was undrivable, quote. And on lap 10, he retired the car.
Oof.
As for Logan, he received a 5-second time penalty for causing a collision. Alex Albon, unfortunately, suffered a nasty hit on that collision at the start. And by lap 10, he was telling his team that the car was also undrivable and to, quote, sacrifice my race for whatever we need to do. He was out by lap 27. His teammate, Logan Sargeant, was forced to retire on lap 23 due to issues with his car after his own collisions, making a very poor weekend for the Williams team. Man.
This is why everyone likes Alex Albon, because he's like, man, my car is not doing anything. Sacrifice me. Take me. And it's like, sacrifice you for what? Like, Logan's over there, like, for Logan? Like, he has, like, 10 penalties and a backup car. And I just, like, Alex is like, take me. It's fine. We'll get him next time. Yeah. And it's like, good for you, dude. Like, your teammate isn't even going to get loins. Like, you're just saying sacrifice you for, like, something. I don't know. This is why we like Alex Albon. Because instead of being,
he's a sweetie.
Whiny and deceptive on the radio, he just like, it's over for me, guys. It's okay. I'm here to help you. Good for you, Alex. We love you.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
One other person we love. Liam Lawson. AlphaTauri.
Liam Lawson. Hell
Liam
yeah.
Liam Lawson. Every time I see Liam Lawson, I'm like, that is a member of a boy band. That is not a Formula One
I
driver.
Mean, with a name like that, he breaks away from that boy band after the second album and has a very successful solo career.
That's exactly who he is. So he finished the race just out of the points with hometown hero and teammate Yuki Tsunoda behind him in P12.
Wow.
So we bring this up. Neither of them got points. But we bring this up because Liam is doing a good job, but AlphaTauri officially re-signed Yuki and Daniel Ricciardo for next year. Yeah. Remember, Daniel Ricciardo is out with an injury and Liam Lawson is subbing for him. Liam is being kept on as their reserve driver. So the picture for 2024, There's one seat left on the grid for 2024, and that is at Williams alongside Alex Albon.
If I'm Liam and they offer me that, I'm going there. Like, I've tasted the seat time.
Yes.
I know what it's like. I want more seat time. I need more experience. I feel like with a teammate like Alex Albon, those guys are going to be pushing each other for sure. Then we'll really get to see what Alex is made of in that Williams, I think.
But I mean, it also goes back to, so that Williams is honestly a decent car. And the AlphaTauri, we have been talking all year about how the AlphaTauri is a tractor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
like, now Liam's getting the Leoints and we're like, okay, well, it's not that bad. And like, I would categorize the Williams car as not that bad.
Yeah.
So like, it's very interesting to see what certain driver pairings can do. And this is nothing against Daniel Ricciardo. We didn't get to see Daniel Ricciardo really do anything before he broke his wrist and sidelined himself. Like, this is nothing against Daniel Ricciardo, but the AlphaTauri throughout the year, like Yuki and Nyck de Vries' finishes were just not great. So we were like, yeah, it's a tractor. Now we got Liam in there and we're like, okay, well, maybe it's like a fast tractor. Like, maybe
it's like a tractor.
It's still a tractor, but like, maybe it's a tractor at like your local fair. Like,
yeah,
you know?
You know, that's a possibility. And also, I think there's a risk for Liam next year if he leaves AlphaTauri. What if AlphaTauri just straight up like copy and paste the Red Bull car, you know? And then it turns into like a pretty good midfield car. That would be annoying. And Williams makes more just incremental progress. That'd be pretty unfortunate. But I think Liam has really shown himself to be a really like hot prospect in terms of a rookie driver. Of course, you know, if he was a true rookie this year, as we saw in our Nyck de Vries points breakdown episode, the data shows that Red Bull drivers and AlphaTauri drivers really fizzle out after the first like 10 races or so, because it's tough to be an F1 driver. You know, your stamina doesn't last that long.
And when you have Helmut Marko just saying things about you and your country of origin and your ability to drive
racist,
the car.
Yeah,
when you have Helmut Marko around and you also have Christian Horner around, like, we have the devious one and we have the one who just says things he shouldn't. Rough. It's rough.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think I really hope we see Liam Lawson more in the sport after this season. I think he has a lot of potential. I don't think that's a controversial thing to say, but there's just something about him. I think there's a high ceiling there, I think.
I totally agree, but I also think it is very hard in F1 to manipulate your career in your favor. So hear me out. So in other racing series, you generally have more cars and more teams, and like, the teams are closer in performance. In Formula One, you have 10 teams and you have 20 cars. And really what decides your fate in Formula One is your car and how you perform next to your teammate. So ideally, you have like a couple of options where you can go, okay, well, I think I'm going to perform better against this person in this car, but you don't have that. Like, if Liam Lawson is going to stick around, there is one seat open and it is with Alex Albon and at Williams. And that is tough competition. Look at Logan Sargeant with Alex Albon. Alex looks like the superstar because they are in a certain type of car and they have certain skill levels. And like, ideally, you want to pair yourself in a good car with someone who is not as good as you, because that makes you look really, really good and gets you more opportunities. You don't really have that in Formula One because there are so few cars to choose from.
Yeah, it could be a kind of a monkey's paw situation where I'm like, oh, I hope Liam gets more time, and then like, he goes to Williams and just destroys Alex. Maybe, I don't know.
It, like, that's the thing. Like, you have to take what is offered to you, and there's just not a lot of choice there. And like, you can't just, as Liam, you can't go, oh, I don't think I'm going to do as well against Alex. Like, I'll go somewhere else. There's only one seat, right?
Yeah.
But you need to take that seat, even if it ends up hurting one of you really badly.
Yeah. I think you got to take all the F1 seasons you can get. Yeah, I would go.
That's why we're going for the Leoints.
I would freaking go, dude. Yeah, dude. So to sum it all up.
I'll do it. Hire me.
Yeah. Yeah, get Alanis in that car. So to sum it all up, the podium this weekend was Max Verstappen in first place. No surprise there, locking up that World Constructors Championship. Then you had Lando Norris in second place and Oscar Piastri, the McLaren boys, both on the podium. Fourth place, you had Charles Leclerc, then Lewis Hamilton, Carlos Sainz, and George Russell. Then came Fernando Alonso, Stebby Ocon, and Pierre Gasly with the final points of the race. Didn't see too much of Pierre this weekend, but good on those Alpine boys for getting some points.
So Elizabeth's not here, so we cannot do our Lance Stroll fan recap. As an Esteban Ocon fan who is still trying to get into the rhythm of being an Esteban Ocon fan, this race started out a little scary for me. I was like, oh no, we got the collision at the start. Like, this is not going to go well. And then we ended up with points. We're going. We got this. This was a solid finish for us. Mm-hmm. I am going to watch YouTube videos about Esteban Ocon so that I can learn more about his personality and the things he likes, and I can align my interests with his.
Great.
Thank you, Nolan. Do you support me? Nolan, you got to pick somebody, and it can't be a McLaren driver.
I mean, I think, you know, Alex, definitely one of my guys.
No, that's too easy. That's too easy.
Carlos. Carlos, for sure.
An anonymous one.
I mean, Pierre. I've expressed my appreciation for Pierre a lot, I think.
Okay, okay.
I do like Pierre. He's kind of like a he's funny guy. Yeah. But I can't be your teammate, though.
Wait, you don't want to be my teammate?
Well, I mean, Liz is a Stroll girl, and you're Alpine. We got the spread. How about Zhou Guan Yu?
But Zhou Guan Yu... he's like really interesting and cool, and we already like know about
him. That's true. He is,
you know, like he's cool and interesting. You gotta like, I'm sure Esteban Ocon is cool and interesting. He just looks like a basketball player to me, and so like I think it's funny. I want to be his fan because he looks like a basketball player. Nolan. Okay, Nolan. I got it.
Okay,
I got it.
Okay.
I'm going to make you Elizabeth's enemy. You're going to be a Nico Hülkenberg fan. And
okay.
You're
gonna, I was actually going to suggest Nico because, yeah, he's another weird guy.
You got to find like a lot of redeeming qualities about Nico Hülkenberg and present them to
us. I'm going
to
find him.
And turn Elizabeth around, okay?
I should, like, actually, yeah.
This is a guy who, when asked what is on his bucket list, he said going to the Bahamas. Like, you gotta make this
other
guy palpable.
He said some other crazy freaking thing.
Who would you like to have dinner with? He said Donald Trump, right. Marilyn Monroe, and Usain Bolt.
That's right. That was like, what? I'll look into it. I'll find his tax returns. I'll see if he has any charitable contributions. I'm gonna scour. Maybe he's in the Panama Papers. I don't know. We'll see.
Wouldn't be surprised. There are a few of them in there. Okay.
Speaking of good boys,
Fastest lap went to Max Verstappen. Who even saw him do that fastest lap? I did not see a single clip of Max Verstappen on track aside from the start. He got the fastest lap. He was somewhere out there, way out of reach of the TV cameras. Driver of the day was Oscar Piastri. And our DNFs were Alex Albon, Logan Sargeant, Lance Stroll, Sergio Perez, and Valtteri Bottas. And yes, Sergio Perez eventually did retire after fake retiring the one time.
It's a long list of DNFs. A little bit more context. Lando and George are now tied in the World Drivers' Championship. Lando making his, you know, moving on up.
You know this makes George really mad.
Oh, yeah.
Because Lewis is in third with 190 points, and Lando and George are tied at 115. You know George, he's trying to assert dominance. He is trying to be the number one golden boy. You know he's mad.
Oh, yeah. Big mad.
Big mad.
It's Boyfriend of the Week. You know, it's our recurring segment. This is where we acknowledge who's the best this week. Who has our favor? It can be anybody. It can be a driver. It can be a car. It can be a fan. Someone online. You know how it goes. It's Boyfriend of the Week. I'm going to go, even though I had a whole scree about this, even though I thought it was against the spirit of the rules, whoever decided to lobby the FIA to see if Checo could go back out.
Yeah.
It was against the spirit of the rules, I think, but it was still a smart play. Well, not that smart, as we discussed, but still very clever and not something I'd ever seen before. So you get my props this week.
It would have been smart to use that at a better time, but yeah. it was clever. We got to give you
that. Clever.
Okay. Can I do a non F1 boyfriend of the week?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Please.
Boyfriend of the week, Craig Mabbitt from Escape the Fate, because he invited all of us to the bar, and him and Maddie Hoffman, two of the people from the band, they came to the bar with all the people from the show, and they stood there and they talked to everyone at length, and they hugged everyone, and they were like, thank you so much for coming. It was so good to have you at the show. And Craig was like, are you going to come next time we're in town to meet? And I was like, of course, I drove 4 hours for this. And he was like, you drove 4 hours to come see us? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, that's like so nice. Like, thank you for doing that. And like, he gave me a hug. Like, he
that's
was
so, awesome.
So sweet. And I was like, all these dudes are just like, they're just standing here talking to everyone at length, being so nice to everyone. And I just had a great time. And I was so happy that they did that. So thank you so much, boys. Yeah, you put on a great show. Love ya.
That's awesome. Yeah. Love a band. I love when bands do that shit. It's awesome.
It's so sweet. We're all old now. And like, we can all just go chill at the bar. And like, it's great. Thank you so much for listening to the Donut Racing Show. We'll be back next week to talk about some fun, weird Formula One merch drops that make no sense. I saw someone at the bar in a Palm Angels hat, and I almost asked how much they paid for it or if it was a ripoff.
Oh, I saw a few Palm Angels, when I was over in Europe.
But I was at the emo bar in Dallas. Like, they were playing like Hawthorne Heights.
That is a strange place to see it. Yeah.
Okay. But sure. I wouldn't wear a Palm Angels hat to the bar because someone could just take it off your head.
Yeah. Now like, they're $200 richer. Okay. In the meantime, make sure to subscribe and tell all your friends to tune in to the Donut Racing Show. And if you want to leave us a 5-star and kindly rooted review, it really helps us out. We also have an email address, donutracingshow@donutmedia.com. Here's an email we got recently. Hi, everyone on the pod. I'm Alex, and I've been listening since the very start, and y'all are one of my favorite F1 podcasts. Thank you very much, Alex. My only conspiracy is that Toto Wolff will not be able to bring Mercedes back to their former glory. Mercedes has lost Niki Lauda, RIP, lost their ability to spend $400 million plus on development, won't have years of prep development ahead of any other team, intro to the hybrid era. They lost James Allison, only for the poor guy to come back during his long-awaited vacation to reverse all the development that they've now done, and soon Lewis Hamilton. Toto Wolff also wasn't in charge when the development of the motor and car began, almost like he bought majority shares of the company at a very convenient time for himself so that he could look like a genius and benefit monetarily, cough, cough, Elon Musk, cough, cough. Nice, Alex. Also, still waiting for my Perez apology with tears after saying that he would be replaced by Daniel Ricciardo mid-season. Checo has won the last 2 of 5 races. Put some respect on his name. A breathing out nose emoji.
That's
describing
what Checo
that for,
was doing this
I'm
weekend.
Describing that for the audience. Okay, I do love y'all though, and hope y'all keep this pod going for years to come. You all are my boyfriends of the day. Sparkly Aww. Heart emoji. Thank you so much, Alex.
Listen,
it's definitely gonna be a tough road for Mercedes, that's for sure.
Listen, one
that's what
I'm
I
so...
contribute. That's my response.
Listen, I'm so glad that Daniel didn't end up replacing your boy at Red Bull. I love Checo. I was very surprised with who Daniel ended up replacing, though. Like, I was very surprised at that. My second response is, this is a very interesting conspiracy about Toto, but I've heard this a couple of times now, actually. So, like, I'm picturing Toto in, like, his white button-up with the sleeves rolled up. And like, are we seeing like Kendall Roy vibes here? Like, is it just like Toto's just here and like he wants to look smart, but it's all going to unravel? Like,
I have nothing to offer. I don't know. I don't know how the inner machinations of the team.
I don't know either. I'm just vibing.
I do want to look into that, though. Like, when did he come on board? Because that is, I mean, I don't know if it was an ego trip thing like you're kind of saying there, Alex, but... that is intriguing. I'm going to have to look into that.
I just really want to see a Toto Wolff meltdown where he's like, I'm the eldest boy. And then it's over. That was the only good part of Succession. I did not enjoy Succession. I'm not going to expand. I did watch the whole thing. I'm not going to expand on that because every time I say I didn't like a TV show, Nolan's like, that's the best TV show that's ever made.
I haven't seen it. I watched like two episodes of it.
You'd probably like it. I didn't.
you should watch White Lotus, though. White Lotus.
I watched a little bit of it. Like, my husband was watching it. And I have a whole thing about HBO shows. That is our outro music. If you're not familiar with Donut, we have a YouTube channel as well as an automotive history podcast called Pass Gas. You should check them out. You should also... No, I'm not going to say check out Succession because I didn't like it. Follow DRS on Twitter and email us at donutracingshow@donutmedia.com. I am Alanis N. King on Twitter and Instagram and everywhere else. And I'm also on YouTube at Alanis King without the N in the middle. Elizabeth is Eliz_Blackstock on Twitter and ElizABlackstock in other places. Nolan is Nolan J. Sykes somewhere, but he's not on Twitter anymore. So go find him places. He exists. He's here. Like, I can confirm.
You can hear my voice.
He is fighting to be the last person alive from the 1900s, just like all of us. We wish you luck in that quest. Bye.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.